The voice of reason. The voice of common sense. America's voice is Steve Gruber.
I want to make sure you check out the brand new website, stevegruber.com. So much content, you'll be calling your friends to help you read it. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. stevegruber.com. You can also find podcasts there, including people like my next guest, the brilliant Byron Henry, Dallas-Fort Worth attorney and sensational scholar. How about that? Byron Henry, welcome back.
Great to be with you, Steve.
Always good to have you. You're up early. Greatly appreciate that. All right, so the star witnesses on day one include two men who have never spoken to the president, never met the president, and were not on the phone call on July 25th that is so much an issue. This is the big lead by the Democrats. And Jim Jordan, from where I sat, pilloried Bill Taylor and George Kent. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I just thought it was very interesting that the best witnesses that Adam Schiff and the Democratic Party could come up with are people that disagree with President Trump's foreign policy and basically spun their understanding of what a bunch of people, a bunch of diplomats and bureaucrats were talking about President Trump. In other words, all their understandings come from their own conversation, sort of like their own spin room. They were spinning to themselves, and then they get up and say, this is our opinion, not only on foreign policy and President Trump, but also our opinion as to what happened on a telephone call that we weren't a part of, and we weren't in the inner circle or the loop to actually have any direct knowledge, which is kind of odd.
It's extremely odd, isn't it? I mean, this is so narrow. And the next star witness, apparently, is an aide to one of these guys who was eavesdropping and hearing part of a phone call between Ambassador Sondland and the president the day after on July the 26th, eavesdropping on the phone call and heard something about the president asking about investigations. Well, what was said? Did you hear the whole conversation? No. Are you sure that's what they were talking about? How could you possibly know? You're eavesdropping and hearing part of a conversation. And this is the next star witness. It's mind-numbing, Byron.
Well, there's a couple things, too. I mean, one of the problems is that if you're just going to have indirect knowledge, when you already have the summary of the call itself, indirect knowledge, and people that talked about President Trump and talked about the Ukrainian policy and President Zelensky of Ukraine, why can't you call other witnesses with indirect knowledge about President Trump and his foreign policy? Why couldn't the Republicans call their own witnesses? And what I was getting at was that it's making it easy for Mitch McConnell. This circus makes it much easier for Mitch McConnell to basically dismiss this out of hand or give it very little weight.
But hold on.
Correctly.
Hold on, because Mitch McConnell said yesterday, no. We are going to take our time. We're going to look through it carefully and meticulously and really, really slowly. And so a word of the wise for the Democrat senators that have been calling for impeachment. Mitch McConnell says 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, maybe 6 or 8 weeks in total time. They're going to have to take their time and go through this page by page, word by word, very, very slowly. I think it's a great tactic on his part, Byron. He's going to sequester these people in Washington for 2 months. You want an impeachment? Fine, let's take our time and be real slow and meticulous. What do you think of that?
Not just that, but I think it's going to open up a lot of other doors if Mitch McConnell takes that tactic with it and actually uses this for political advantage and sequesters them. But my point is that if they'd have done a process in the House that put pressure on the Republicans and Mitch McConnell to do a real process, meaning one that required all the processes of a full trial, but in this case, I think Mitch McConnell has his choice, and that's the thing you're talking about. He's going
right
to do it slowly and meticulously. Now he has a choice of how to handle it because they've done a circus in the House, so Mitch McConnell could say, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to do whatever Mitch McConnell wants to do in the Senate, and if it's keep them there for 2 days, if it's have an initial vote and make it go away, he'll make it go away.
Let me ask you this, because I don't know this answer, Byron Henry here. Can Mitch McConnell then call additional witnesses?
Well, of course.
So he can call additional witnesses. He can turn the process in his favor. I want to ask you about one thing that was specifically said by Congressman Mike Quigley of Illinois yesterday. He said hearsay evidence is better oftentimes than direct evidence. I mean, that's what he testified to. Did the congressman from Illinois, Quigley, your thoughts on hearsay evidence being better than direct evidence?
Hearsay evidence could be admissible with certain exceptions in the rules, but I can think of a situation. The reason there's exceptions and rules about hearsay is because it is more questionable, less less credible generally than direct evidence, and that's why there's all these rules of evidence to allow it. Now, it can be allowed as evidence in criminal trials and in all sorts of stuff, but to say that it's better evidence is odd, because why would you want a person that wasn't a part of the conversation when you can actually have the actual conversation?
I can answer that.
Yeah, it's sort of like saying if you have the Nixon tapes, would you listen to the Nixon tapes, or would you have somebody's recollection of what Nixon said on the Nixon tapes? Of course you'd listen to the Nixon tapes.
Well, sure, but the reason the Congress wants you to believe that hearsay is somehow better evidence than direct evidence, they don't have any direct evidence. I mean, if they had direct evidence or a witness that could come up and say, I was on that phone call and it was terrible and we talked about it afterwards and we were concerned and because this was going on, none of that happened. They have a bunch of, as you put it, career diplomats running around clucking like hens in the hen house, trying to figure out how to get the foreign policy the way they want it. Newsflash, the president of the United States directs foreign policy for the nation, correct?
That's exactly right. And the idea that it's somehow noble or American to try to undermine the elected president of the United States out of some duty to country is just absurd, and I've never heard of that theory before. Donald Trump, and of course we never heard that during any of the foreign policy, the Iran deal with President Obama, or Fast and Furious with President Obama, or Benghazi with President Obama, or any number trading for Bo Bergdahl, the trade of the terrorist for the deserter. We didn't hear any of this about how it's noble to basically undermine the president whenever you disagree with his foreign policy before President Trump.
And apparently it ran all the way to John Kelly and Rex Tillerson. If Nikki Haley is to be believed, and I believe she is. Byron Henry, always appreciate your time. Dallas-Fort Worth attorney, thank you for getting up with us today.
My pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Byron Henry here and sorting it out. Yeah. Hearsay testimony, not nearly as effective. There's a reason that hearsay is almost always banned. All right. Good conversation so far. Quick break. It's the Steve Duber Show.